Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Vehicle Registration and Reasonable Suspicion Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On November 4th, 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court heard argument in Kansas v. Glover, a case involving a dispute over the reasonable suspicion necessary to justify a traffic stop when the registered owner of a vehicle has a revoked license, but the actual driver of the vehicle has not been identified. A county sheriff's deputy pulled over Charles Glover Jr. after running a registration check on the vehicle Glover was driving and finding that the registered owner had a revoked license. Although Glover was in fact the registered owner, the deputy did not attempt to confirm his identity before making the stop, nor did he witness any traffic violations. The deputy had simply assumed the registered owner was the person driving the vehicle. Glover moved to suppress evidence obtained during the traffic stop, arguing that the officer had lacked the requisite reasonable suspicion of illegal activity to authorize the stop. The Kansas Supreme Court ultimately agreed with Glover, holding that the officer, quote, lacked an articulable and reasonable suspicion that the unidentified driver did not have a valid driver's license. This decision conflicted with those of various other state Supreme Courts and Federal Circuit Courts of Appeals on similar questions, and the U.S. Supreme Court subsequently granted Kansas's cert petition to consider whether, for purposes of an investigative stop under the Fourth Amendment, it is reasonable for an officer to suspect that the registered owner of a vehicle is the one driving the vehicle, absent any information to the contrary. And now, to discuss the case, we have Brian Fish, Special Assistant United States Attorney, Baltimore, Maryland.
This case took an odd turn getting to the Supreme Court, and at the end of the day, I'll have a lot of sports references, because that's sort of how this topic was framed. The case started when Deputy Mark Mayer of the Douglas County, Kansas Police Force saw a Chevy 1500 driving down the street and did a check for the license and registration of that vehicle. The Kansas database came back that this vehicle was owned by one Charles Glover, and that Mr. Glover had a revoked Kansas license. That's important because, quite literally, that is the only facts that we know about this case at the time of this stop. So, Deputy Mayer finds this information out from the record check, pulls over one Charles Glover, and walks up to him, asks for license registration. Mr. Glover admits that he has no valid Kansas driver's license. Mr. Glover is ticketed and charged with being a habitual offender for driving on Kansas roads with a revoked license. Case goes to the district court, and the district court grants the motion to suppress that Glover files, again, based on the one fact that Deputy Mayer was told by dispatch that the car was owned by someone who had a revoked license. District Court in Kansas granted the motion to suppress. The Court of Appeals reversed. The Kansas Supreme Court reversed again. Kansas petitioned for cert, and that got us here today. Kansas's main point was, and this was our first football reference of the day, they're up 26-3, and it's late in the fourth quarter. Why do I say that? Kansas's first point is that 12 state Supreme Courts, 10 intermediate state courts, and 4 federal courts of appeal all have reviewed this exact same fact pattern, and all have said that that is reasonable suspicion for a stop. The three comes from three intermediate courts of appeal across the country that say, no, that's not even reasonable suspicion for a stop. So the score is 26-3. We're late in the game. Does Glover have a 24-point play, or five justices would agree with him, where quite literally hardly anybody else in the history of this issue has agreed with Charles Glover? The case comes down to what is reasonable when we're talking about reasonable suspicion. Now, it's interesting that, again, Charles Glover needs five justices. Justice Gorsuch, while sitting on the Tenth Circuit, which happens to include Kansas, wrote an opinion in Cortez versus Glavis on this very issue. Then Judge Gorsuch commented, "Common sense, which is discussed a lot today, and ordinary experience suggest that a vehicle's owner is, well, surely not always, very often the driver of his or own car." Well, if that's the case, is that reasonable suspicion based on absolutely nothing else? So, how is this case important enough to garner Supreme Court attention? How do we articulate precisely what reasonable suspicion and probable cause mean when so many cases say that's simply not possible? Well, this case came down to not so much Kansas versus Glover, but Justice Gorsuch versus Justice Sotomayor. And quite frankly, Justice Gorsuch was not having anything to do with Sotomayor. Gorsuch asked the very first question about what is the difference between the definitions of assumed versus inference. Did the officer assume that the owner of the vehicle was driving, or was that a reasonable inference based on common sense and training and experience? And does the officer's training and experience even matter when, again, that doesn't even come into play at the Kansas District Court level? We were simply talking about officer sees a car driving, car is owned by an unlicensed driver. Sotomayor follows up with, well, is there anything else? Does the government need any additional evidence to get to, well, what she calls, and here's the first questionable call of the day, she calls it reasonable, not reasonable suspicion or probable cause, she calls it reasonable cause. Whatever in Justice Sotomayor's mind reasonable cause is, which she doesn't quite define, she picks up on the fact that there's no additional evidence and there's nothing about the officer's experience or training. And the reason that is because at the district court, there was simply a stipulation to the one salient fact, is that Officer Mayer was an officer of the law. He called in the dispatch. Dispatch told him that the pickup truck was registered to an unlicensed driver. Mayer hits the lights and pulls him over, and we find Charles Glover, who was in fact the owner of the vehicle, who was in fact driving without a license. Do we need any additional information? And that's the heart of the case. The second takeaway, after the fact that maybe Gorsuch and Sotomayor should not sit next to each other any longer, is that the breakup seems to be along the following lines. The Chief Justice, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Alito, and perhaps surprisingly enough, Justice Breyer, who in one of my wow moments actually said, "This is tough for me to say, this is unreasonable." Almost like he was hoping that he could find something to help the defendant out in this case, but couldn't. On the other side seemed to be Justices Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, and Justice Ginsburg, who variously talked about everything from additional officer testimony to it was the government's burden, so therefore, even though Glover could have called the officer or cross-examined the officer and chose not to, it's still the government's burden, those kinds of issues. Which follows up on my third takeaway, which was magic words. Both Justices Gorsuch and Alito began talking about magic words. Justice Gorsuch actually said, "What are we really fighting about here?" Is it all we're talking about? This is to Glover's attorney. Is this all we're talking about if the officer had taken a stand and said, based on my training experience, I know that there's a reasonable possibility, reasonable suspicion, whatever the magic language is, whatever the magic words are, is there reasonable suspicion to say that the driver of a vehicle is also the owner? And vice versa, the owner of a vehicle is also the driver. That's the next takeaway. The final takeaway should be, well, in an odd sort of way, I started thinking about Pat Benatar. Both sides took about 2 minutes to present their case and then said, I'm done. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away. I've got nothing else to say. I'm here for your questions. And most of the time for both arguments were filled with the justices, while not always taking shots at each other, asking long-winded questions, which seemed to get far afield from where this case was about. I'll give you an example. Justice Ginsburg started talking about, does it matter if this was a new cop or an experienced officer? Does it matter if it was a sunny day or a rainy day? Justice Sotomayor asked, well, should the officer have sped up, gotten next to the vehicle in question to peer in to see if the description that he was given as to who the owner of the vehicle was close enough or matched the driver of the vehicle? In other words, if Mr. Glover was a 60-year-old white male and Officer Mayer looked in the vehicle and saw a 17-year-old black female driving the vehicle while doing 55 down the highway trying to peer in, should he have done that? Could he have done that? Was it the something more that Justice Sotomayor picked up on, which was Glover's argument? There had to be something more than just the dispatch telling Mayer that the owner of the vehicle had a suspended license. Gorsuch said if that had happened, if the police officer took the stand and threw out a statistic and said simply, look, based on my training, knowledge, and experience, the owner is usually the driver, and since the owner had a suspended license, I pulled him over. I didn't know anything else. And what Kansas was, their point was, and they don't care. They didn't have to put in anything else. That's reasonable in and of itself, and that's the end of the matter. Key point is that the particularities that both Justices Sotomayor and Kagan were wanting go to the suspect, not the officer and his training and experience. Turning to the main points that Glover's counsel were trying to make, they simply said this was not a reasonable assumption, again, splicing the differences between assumptions and inferences, that it's Kansas's burden to show that the identity of the driver is the same as the identity of the owner of the vehicle, and then basically spiked the football and said, I'm done, what do you got? That set off a flurry of activity from Justices Gorsuch and Alito. Gorsuch starts off again, as he did with the Solicitor General of Kansas, he starts off with Glover's attorney by asking, if the police officer doesn't testify, and we have that one salient fact, is that all we need? Do we need something else? And if not, what are we really fighting about? Well, since we don't know anything else, Gorsuch then continues, and he starts off on his magic words. All we really fighting about is you, Glover's attorney, wanting the officer to come in to say some magic words. It's a mere formality to say, here's a stat, people who own cars, who have suspended licenses, still drive the cars even though their licenses are suspended, and I've made 20 arrests in my career out of the hundred of times that I've stopped said car. What are we really talking about? Alito picks up on that from Gorsuch and actually says the magic words, all we need. There's some magic words. picking up on Gorsuch's theme of what are we really fighting about. Alito continues by pointing out the fact that, well, look, yes, it's Kansas's burden to show that they had a reasonable suspicion for a stop, the so-called Terry stop, but at that point, the defendant had the opportunity to cross-examine witnesses if he had so chosen, to bring in additional evidence, to testify himself, whatever, and the defendant didn't do anything. All we have is the one stipulated fact that Glover owned the car and that Glover had a revoked Kansas license. At that point, Gorsuch comes back in, picking up again on the magic words, and that's when the fireworks, well, maybe a minor tiff, but considering they're on the Supreme Court bench, I'll call them fireworks between Justices Gorsuch and Sotomayor, picked up. In an effort to sort of change the tune, the Chief Justice starts really pushing the numbers. And his point was, if probable cause is, as we know, something less than 50%, and reasonable suspicion is about at least 10% probability that criminal activity is afoot, then if we're going to have a stats conversation, how many times do you think Officer Mayer, who pulls a car over for having a owner with a revoked license, how many times is it reasonable to assume that the driver of the vehicle is actually the owner who has the revoked license? He keeps hammering Glover's attorney. Is it 1 out of 10? Is it a 5% chance? What's the chance of this happening? And is that reasonable? The attorney never comes back with a number of her own. She simply says, since it's Kansas's burden to show this, that and that they didn't, in her opinion, we win, they lose, and we don't need anything else. She continues to say, this is not a stats-based argument, but then she starts talking about the stats that she wants to quote, and so we then go through a minute or two of fighting about statistics. So, at the end of an hour or so of arguments, we're left with Breyer saying, wow, it's tough for me to say this is unreasonable. Alito makes the comment of the day at right at the end of oral arguments when he points out the obvious fact that if we were to buy into Mr. Glover's point of view, that this would be a revolutionary case if we were to buy into Glover's argument that we need something more than reasonable suspicion to make this stop, or this is just a trivial blah, 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 blah case. Or will Charles Glover get the 24-point play, convince five Supreme Court justices that the 26 courts who have heard this argument before, who have all sided with the government in claiming and stating that this, on this alone, is a reasonable stop? Or is this a revolutionary case, and we're going to get the Hail Mary connection here in the middle of college football season?
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.